What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're doing the Listener Spotlight Series here so that we can highlight you, the listener of the Sports Medicine Broadcast, and help you tell your story of athletic training, how you got here, where you're headed, those kind of things like that. It's been a lot of fun. Yesterday, we filled the empty slots with just no agenda chatter. So if you got some time, you can jump in after the sessions today or tomorrow and just kind of hang out. But right now, we're highlighting Matt Babasek. I met Matt when he worked here in Pasadena ISD, and we've stayed connected as he moved up there to be closer to family, to Mesquite. And he also hooked up with me last year when I went to the podcast conference, and I was able to buy him some pretty good lunch there at a barbecue spot. So without much further ado, Matt, how long have you been in the profession of athletic training?
I'm finishing up my eighth year.
All right. So tell me how you got to year eight. So starting from whenever you first learned about athletic training.
Okay, so I worked at a couple commercial gyms. Some of them may be open for, you know, all 24 hours of the day. And then I moved to a higher end one. And I loved the exercise part, but the sales aspect of it just drove me crazy. And I somehow got stuck as the rehab guy. So everybody who was in pain or, you know, needed, you know, not just, you know, they had something or they had some kind of restriction, they always got sent to me. So I would talk to physical therapists or doctors' offices to say, okay, what can we do with your patient? What can we not do? And another personal trainer at the gym works. She had her LAT and worked part-time with a minor league baseball team. And because that job was part-time, she supplemented her income doing personal training as well. And I said, that's kind of cool. I think I might like that. And I found out I did not want to go get another bachelor's degree. I already had a kines degree. And so I figured out there were two accredited programs in Texas at the time, Stephen F. Austin and Texas Tech. And my wife said, I am not moving to Lubbock. So I applied to SFA, got in to their Masters of Athletic Training program. Spent great 2 years there. I remember I applied for three jobs after I graduated. One was at a small 2A school to be the only athletic trainer. It also in the job description that he informed me of during the interview was that the athletic trainer was also his administrative assistant. And I said, thank you very much. I removed myself from that one. I applied at another school, didn't get that job. And then I applied at Pasadena Memorial, and I got it. So that was my first job after graduation. I worked there for 5 great years. Had a great mentor, Catherine Vollmer. And then just, my wife and I had 3 kids at the time down there, and all our families were up in the more northern part of Texas. So I kept applying. It took 3 years, but then finally got a job up here in Mesquite. And I'm finishing my 3rd year at West Mesquite High School.
All right, very good. Nice long journey. It's interesting to hear that you didn't even know about athletic training until you were working as an adult. So.
Yeah, in as much sports as I was played, I went to a small private school. We didn't have an athletic trainer. But watching sports all my life, I knew that there were medical professionals involved, but I just didn't dawn on me to think about, hey, I might like the combination of sports and medicine. And it took me a while. 26 years, in fact, to figure out what I wanted to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're good at it now, though, so.
Thank you.
All right, so tell us about what you feel is the worst injury you have dealt with.
I'd been present for a few, you know, suspected C-spine issues. I wasn't the one at the head. It was a couple times kid on the other team, so just helping out. But the worst one I had was I had a freshman football player get, as you might say, blown up on the field. He was doing the typical rolling around in pain. By the time I got to him, you know, just seeing the hit, you could have thought concussion, you could have thought hip, knee, ankle, anything. He said it was his knee. His pads and his he was kind of tiny kid, so the pads and the pants covered, you know, they were way too big for him, essentially. So it was hard to get a good look right away. But kind of removing some pads, you could find out his knee did not look normal. I might have thought patella out, but then the tibial tuberosity was in a completely different location. So just right there on the field, splinted him. We carted him off. When I looked at him, once we got him up on a table, there was possible fibular involvement as well. And parents, dad, you know, I told him, all right, we need to, you know, I would have preferred he would have ridden in an ambulance, but dad disagreed. So dad took him. He tried to walk on crutches. That didn't work. So dad picked the kid up literally over his shoulder and put him in the back seat of his truck. Again, I would have rather the kid ridden on an ambulance, but when the parent can physically pick up the kid and walk off with them, there's not much else I could have done, I felt. And it turned out he had tib fib, both displaced. Fibula was displaced fairly proximally. The tibia was actually the plateau and the distal part was kind of split. So that's why the tuberosity was actually lateral. From the x-ray, it looked like somebody stuck a meat cleaver straight down into his knee to split the tuberosity apart. So it was, I didn't realize how bad the fracture was until we got to see the x-ray later.
That would have been fun to see. Well, fun for me to see, but, you know, it's.
And the kid was pretty tough. I would have suspected a little more crying once we figured out what it was, but for a freshman, he was pretty composed.
Okay. So tell me about one of your more memorable moments as an athletic trainer.
The most memorable one I can still think of, we had a kid tear his ACL as a senior, which is just, you know, and he's one of those kids who's always, yes, sir, thank you, real polite, and he had the combination of politeness, and he had a D1 offer at the time. And we knew as soon as we kind of saw him slip on the turf, we could, you know, I guess make an educated guess as to what happened when he didn't get back up. But he is hands down the best rehab I've ever worked with, because he knew he had a scholarship on the line. And so once we did, he worked really hard before surgery. He worked really hard after surgery, and he was the kind of kid who would always come up, hey, can we do a little bit more? Hey, what else can I do? So we got to work around the rest of his body as well, get him stronger, especially in, you know, areas like hips, upper back. And then getting can't remember if it was an email. No, it wasn't. He sent me an email as he was sitting in the airport about to board a plane to go up to college. So they honored his scholarship. And, so getting that email from him to say, hey, thanks again. You know, I wouldn't have done it without you. Although he might've been able to do it without me as hard as he worked. I tell him, hey, you did most of the work. I just kind of guided you there.
Very cool. I'm glad your one of your more memorable moments is a success story. So tell me about a life lesson you have learned being an athletic trainer.
There's a lot. I wish there was a class in undergrad or grad school where you kind of go over the things you need to know for your setting, whether it's high school, collegiate, clinic, how to deal with other adults might be one. But I think the most important thing is to be able to listen. So many times we want to just say a lot of adults, we just want to say what we think. We always feel better after we talk for a while. But I found for diffusing situations with parents, administrators, coaches, it's always best to let them get whatever they need to say out. And if you can diffuse any emotion out of the situation, you can usually work it out a lot better. Lower the tension and the any kind of confrontation. So listen first, then speak.
I've heard something similar from several of the other guests that I've had. So yes, listening or understanding their perspective first, that kind of thing. So right. On a similar note, why don't you give a one piece of advice to athletic trainers?
I brought in the little show notes. I wrote down two, or a couple, but work hard. Even if you feel, you feel kind of blah for the day. Cause you never know, what kind of kid you may be rehabbing or, teaching a student trainer or an athletic training student aide something. Even if you investing, 5, 10, 15 minutes in them, that may make a huge impact in their life. And, just a thank you from a kid is usually pretty gratifying at the end of the day. And the other is you've got to take care of yourself. Whether that's if you've worked 6 days a week for 4 or 5 weeks in a row, take some time off. Most of us have coworkers, but if you're by yourself, I don't know, that's where I guess you and AD need to have a little budget for days when you just need to, you need time for yourself. And I think that also includes with taking care of yourself, staying on top of continuing ed and finding a specific thing that you like. For me, it's manual therapy or corrective exercise. So anytime I can go to a conference and learn something or even watch a sports medicine broadcast on a topic like that, I make sure I set aside time to do that.
Again, similar evidence or suggestions, take time for yourself is what we've heard before. All right, so three people you would like to thank and why?
Okay, I'll say Dr. Stephanie Jevis. She was my clinical coordinator in grad school. She's now the program director for TCU's athletic training program. She really motivated me and encouraged me to keep learning. And her passion for the profession, she exudes it. So it was easy to learn from her. Catherine Vollmer was my first boss. She's the one who hired me. She taught me a lot of those things that you don't learn in school about how to do the job and then how to get along with everybody from parents to coaches to administrators. My family, because they put up with me going back to school and then working a job that's got some pretty demanding hours.
All right. Very good. Yeah. I think forgetting to thank your wife or your family, for those of us that have a spouse and family, is kind of telling, but I think it's very important to thank them and to, thank them not just once, but regularly and say, hey, I love you, that kind of thing. And yesterday when I had some empty time here, Sarah was watching and Sam was sitting right there. Sam's our middle one. And he was talking to me on the computer, but he obviously the mic wasn't on. So Sarah called in and I just talked to them in the middle of the day. And again, just to say, hey, thanks, I love you. You're a part of my life. So bringing them up, allowing them to be here in the athletic training room, those things go a long, long way in building those relationships. So, Matt, thanks for being part of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Thanks for contributing to the content, to the conversations, for email and tweeting different questions, how we talked about the legal concerns, where you're asking some questions there. Thanks for being involved and then also telling other people in your area about it. So thanks for just being willing to be a part of what we're doing.
Hey, a big thank you for doing this, because it's awesome. So I can remember when you started with, just a couple microphones and a little table and a bunch of us from Pasadena ISD just kind of sitting around. So thank you.
Yep. Those it's embarrassing if you go back and listen to those now, but everybody starts somewhere. If you go back to listen to the first 10 episodes, it's definitely different. But, like I said, everybody got to start somewhere. So,
exactly.
Thanks for sticking with me.
No problem. It's been great. Thank you.